This is the second half of a lesson we started last Sunday. Before we get started, because I'm not sure if Pastor will remember, make sure you tell Shannon happy 50th birthday. We started last week on a lesson about Old Testament law and the New Testament Christian. So, give me 1 second because I lost my marker. Yes. Last week we had looked at Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, that shows us that the law of Moses in the Old Covenant was given to show men that God is holy and that they are sinners. Amen? Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We looked at last week, if you were going to try to keep the law of Moses, it required perfect obedience. And if you broke one law, it was the same as if you broke them all. Look at James chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is what? People don't understand it. We like to look at it and we say, well, yeah, I told a little white lie. A lie is a... I never stole anything, but it's not the same when I spend time on my phone running through the internet when I'm supposed to be working. I never stole anything. You're stealing time you're being paid for. What I'm trying to say is that... last week I said, if you ever took a cookie when your mother told you you couldn't, you are a thief. How many times you have to take something that's not yours to be a thief? One time. How many times you ever got to tell a lie to be a liar? One time. Healthy males. The Bible says, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, this is New Testament, you have committed adultery already with her. That's something that takes place in the heart that never has a physical acting out. And I've said it very plainly. Judy and I, if we go to Destiny, she was up there the other day with Heather. They had to stop at a specialty store. And my wife and my daughter should be in church this morning because they don't have to worry about getting illness. Their testimony part and what they're doing is done. But it's a case of I'd go to Destiny or a shopping mall with my wife, and some 20-some-year-old girl dressed totally inappropriately. I'll make an extreme example. She has on a tube top and hot pants, and she goes bouncing by, okay? And a man sees her. If he lets that go into his mind and he watches her coming, and then he turns his head and he watches her going, and he thinks something, that's sin. The fact that you saw her is a temptation. Judy and I, when she'd look at me at times, and this would happen, you know, and a woman goes by who's not dressed appropriate, and I lean down and I give my wife a PDA. What is that? Public display of affection. And she goes, why are you kissing me in public? Because I love you, and my mind needs to be where my mind needs to be, and that's on you. All right? So don't deny that. Maybe your husband just wants to kiss you and he wants to let people know, that's my wife. I'm hers. She's mine and I'm hers. But sometimes it's to protect yourself. But I want you to see that God's standard for what is sin is much stricter than our standard. And if you break the law, I want you, what does it say? When it talks about murderers and whoremongers and all liars in the book of Revelation shall find their part in the lake of fire. You go to hell as much for a lie as you do for abusing somebody. So the Bible teaches us there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the law was given to convict us of our sin. All you need to do is understand the Ten Commandments and look at any way that you could possibly break that, and you're guilty of that. Anytime you put a person or a thing above your worship of the one true God, you have done what? You've kept an idol. And I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So the law of Moses demanded perfect obedience. We also learned that the law of Moses, Romans 3:20, okay, turn there. I'm just trying to bring us back up to speed so we can finish this morning. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be what? No flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Romans chapter 7, which we looked at last week, because the law of Moses cannot bring salvation, because you can't keep it. Salvation is only through, again, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. And it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of them that keep the law, to them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, unmerited favor. You don't earn it, you don't deserve it, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So salvation is, New Testament is through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 7, because we're going quick here just to bring us back up to speed from a week ago. Look at verses 1 and 2. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. You get that? For a woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. And so again, that's a picture of what it means to be saved. Look at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The law of Moses cannot condemn the believer. Look at verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. She's freed from the law. It can't condemn a believer, because we're dead to the law. Okay? Because when you accept Jesus Christ, you're accepting his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's why it tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are, present tense, become, ongoing imperative, are become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm no longer bound letter to letter by the law. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is where we finished last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting at verse 5. I like the fact that in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says, I was alive without the law once. He was an innocent. He was a sinner, but he didn't understand sin. But the commandment came, and I died. Right? When he came under to understand that he'd broken God's law, he died spiritually. So this is what the context is with us. And then he goes, with that, then he struggles trying to keep the law. For he says, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to what? Perform that I find not. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but of our sufficiency as of God. If you think you're better than someone else, that you deserve heaven, God's saying you're a fool. You don't measure up. Because all you got to do is break one law, and you're guilty of all the law. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter killeth, the letter of the law, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, what was engraved on the stones? Ten Commandments. Was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. Remember when he brought him down, they couldn't even look at him. For the glory of his countenance, which is glory, is to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, see, you're condemned because you violate the law, be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away with was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord. So the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. My brethren, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians chapter 5. End of that passage, verse 13, I believe it says, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't think because you're in Christ you can sin and do anything you want to do. Don't use it to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But by love, serve one another. So you have this, and now it can contrast the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, with the New. The Old Covenant was the law of Moses. You find that in verse 7 and verse 13, written and graven in stones. The Old Covenant was the ministration of death. For the wages of sin is death. You couldn't keep the Old Testament law. It was given to convict you. Ministration of that is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life in who? Jesus Christ. Ministration of condemnation, verse 9 in 2 Corinthians 3. It required perfect obedience from the heart. And we being sinners are incapable of providing that level of obedience. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I mean, you remember last week I talked about how my anger could get me into problems because of that? We're under a new law. That's verses 17 and 18. The fact that the believer is not under the law of Moses does not mean that he doesn't have a law. The believer has a higher law, which is the law of Christ. We are to be conformed to his image. Look at Romans chapter 8. I've hung on through many problems with Romans chapter 8 understanding verse 8, okay, or 28. It says in Romans 8, verse 28, for we know that all things work together, what? It doesn't say they are good, okay? 27 surgeries for me, that doesn't mean they are good, but they work together for good. That my daughter lost her leg because of the foolishness of another man and then the inappropriate treatment by a doctor, doesn't say that's good. That my wife got uveal melanoma and they took her eye and it went to her liver and they said she didn't have a chance. That's not good. But it worked together for good because my wife was a living testimony every day of the mercy and the grace of God and His divine healing, because she's here. She'll be here this morning because Jesus Christ, because the doctors gave no hope. She's supposed to be dead in May last year. That's not good. But it says all things work together for good. Right? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, so we are to be conformed to the image. Another place in the Bible, Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 6. I think I'm trying to drop back from a head with 27, you know, surgeries and 9 concussions. It says, for he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're saved, are you perfect? No. But God is doing a work in you to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I always do all things that please the Father. One day we'll be there. I don't believe it's going to be here. I don't believe in sinless perfection after salvation until you hit glory. Amen? We're to conform to His image. We are changed there. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. You still with me? I know I'm going quick. For some of you, this is nothing new. For others of you, I want you to think. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. See, if you don't do it all, you're cursed. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. To be redeemed means what? Bought back. You were sold under sin. You couldn't keep it. Sin was your taskmaster. Jesus turned in the coupon on the cross and He redeemed you. Okay? He bought you back. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I'm going to be doing junior church this morning. Their lesson this morning is on the blessing of Abraham out of Genesis, I believe, Genesis 15, where it gets down. Abraham was called of God. He was told to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and to come into the promised land. And he started doubting things. And things didn't happen, everything perfect for Abraham. And did Abraham do wrong? Yes. But God offers him in Genesis 15, He says, I'm going to make your children as the stars in heaven and as the sand of the sea. He says, believest thou this? And it says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. That's why Abraham's brought in here, because Abraham's righteousness was based off of his belief of what God told him. You know what your salvation's based on? Belief in what God says about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. For he hath made him, this is 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God in him, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. How? Verse 14 of Galatians 3. Through who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The moment, if you're here this morning and you recognize that you needed Jesus Christ to save your soul because you were a sinner headed to hell, as all people are, and you turn and trusted in what Jesus Christ did on the cross and the penalty paid for you, and you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. Done. You can no longer go to hell because your salvation is based on him and not on your own actions. Yeah, but what if I deny him later on? If our heart condemns us, 1 John 3, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. So God knows if you're his. If you got born again, is the term, scripturally is there. John chapter 3, verily, verily, Jesus said, ye must be born again. What did Nicodemus say to him? Can a man be born a second time and enter into his mother's womb? And Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Right? Born of water. The water has to break for the baby to come. That's not talking about baptism. It's talking about physical birth in John chapter 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. A born-again Christian is someone who's trusted in Jesus Christ alone to save their soul. They acknowledge his penalty for their sin and they ask him to save them. The thief on the cross, one went to hell that day, one went to paradise. One mocked Jesus Christ on the cross. One says, Lord. So what did he just acknowledge who Jesus is? Lord. Rememberest thou me when thou enterest into thy kingdom? And Jesus said, verily, verily, he says, I say unto you, this day ye shall be with me in paradise. And when Jesus ascended, paradise ascended with him. Not preaching about that this morning, but that's your salvation is secure. When Jesus Christ sins, because it's his righteousness given to you, then you can go to hell. That doesn't give you freedom. It's not like buying fire insurance, no matter what you do, okay? But you're no longer under the law. You with me in that? You understand? We might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now jump down to verse 24 of the same chapter. Wherefore, the law was our what? Schoolmaster. It's the teacher to teach you. Our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, you're no longer under the law, for we are all children of God by keeping the law, by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that make sense? You said, keeping of the law of Moses required perfect obedience in all things, and you can't be saved by it. We read those verses in Galatians. Because it requires perfect holiness. It can only bring curse upon the fallen sinner. We can't live up to that. Christ took the punishment for us. As I said, and I already quoted to you, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, God the Father hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for me. He didn't just suffer for my sins, he became the embodiment of sins for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took the punishment demanded by the law. He died in the sinner's place to provide eternal salvation. The law was our schoolmaster. It was there to teach us. That's the major purpose of the law, to show the sinner that you've fallen. No one keeps the law completely. I gave you an example of a woman many, many, many years ago said she'd never sinned. And when I convicted her of her sin, she didn't like what I had to say. You know what I gave her? Scripture verses. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The believer, we're not under the law of Moses as a rule for life. The law we're under is not the law of Moses. We're under the law of Christ, which means to be conformed to his image. The believer's new law is also called, look at Galatians 5. We're in Galatians 3. Look at Galatians 5. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the what? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. The Bible makes it very plain. You look in Romans, you look at Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, and you'll find that if you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do you always listen to him? No. But the Spirit was given to you as an eternal down payment of God. He's called the earnest of our inheritance. That's a reference in a legal term to the earnest payment. You went to buy your first house, your first piece of property. You put a payment down. When that the seller accepted that and the bank accepted that, they could not sell it to anybody else until you revoked that or didn't meet the promise that you gave. And then it could be sold to another. It's called the earnest payment. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of your inheritance. You know what your inheritance is? You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. The Holy Spirit indwelling the child of God is God's legal earnest payment, that unless, if God revokes, because he paid the price, he put the payment down, you're secured into heaven because of that. And the Holy Spirit indwelling a person is what differentiates them from a lost person in the world. Is there sometimes lost people who act better than Christians? All the time. But because they're under the law and they don't measure up to Jesus Christ, the lost person who seems to act better than the saved person will go to hell if they die because their sins are upon them. Where the saved person is going to have the condition of God disciplining them in their life because they can no longer go to hell. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you're saved, you don't get away with what the world gets away with. because you are God the Father's child. You are part of the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the bridegroom. And you know what? Any man marrying a woman has different expectations for her behavior in the world than he does for someone who's not his. Yes? Any parent has different expectations for the behavior of their children than they do for ones who aren't theirs. And a lost person does not belong to God. He's condemned in his sin, and the Bible says, ye are of your father, the devil, the god of this world, the prince and power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. And God spends his time trying to draw them, convict them of their sinful condition, and getting them turned to Christ. But if they don't, they die in their sins and they go to hell. The believer is held to a different standard, the law of Christ. Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, cannot condemn him to hell, but his heavenly Father will discipline him, will chasten him. How that chastening works out, that's not my business, except when it's in my life. You still with me? We're under the law of the Spirit of Christ. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not what? Fulfill the law, the lust of the flesh. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You have different standards in your home than other people have. We had high standards for our kids. We also had love and mercy and grace for our kids. We expected a certain behavior in our home. When we opened our home to their friends, we tried not to violate the law of the parents of the kids who were sent there. We wanted them to feel secure that their kids were safe with us, but we also treated them like our kids. If Kevin Kaler could come down from heaven today, because my son Michael led him to the Lord as a junior in high school in Hannibal, and he died with cancer in his 30s. You know what he'd tell you? If you asked him, what was the law in the Legault house? And he'd say, it's either the Legault rules or the hairbrush. And that was, do right till the stars fall from heaven, do right, and you won't have to tell God you're sorry when you say your prayers at night. If you won't do right in my house, I'm going to take Judy with, she didn't lose her temper, she didn't yell and scream. To delay was to, just ask Michael. To delay was to disobey. And she held you to that standard. And if you were brought into her house and you did bad behavior, she took the hairbrush to your butt. You can ask Will Moleone the same thing. Don't get on the wrong side of Mama Judy. Just, you do well, you do what she says, and everything's fine. But you better know how to behave. Christian, Hebrews tells us, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God wants you to learn how to behave so you can be conformed to the image of Christ. Okay. Christ took away the old covenant or the law of Moses. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're at the end of Galatians. It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse, let me see here. Let's start. Let's start at verse 9. The verse I want is going to be verse 14, but it says, for in him, that's in who? Jesus Christ. Dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Godhead is the biblical term for what we call the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said, no man has seen the Father any time lest the Son declare him. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. There's a place that says you must have, you know, that says he's going to give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says about that, he says, I will be in you. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, that spiritual circumcision, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That's spiritual baptism. That's not talking about water. Every time some denominations hear baptism, they think glub, glub, glub. They think it's water. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us we are baptized into one body by one Spirit. Okay? So let's continue. Buried with him in baptism, whereas you are risen through him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. See, you're identifying with his death on the cross for your sins, his burial to take those sins away, they get put in hell, and his resurrection to show that he had victory over death and over hell. Okay? Who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you the trespasses. Now hang on to that. We're coming back to verse 14. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Not my notes. John chapter 3, the most famous verse we have in all the New Testament. It was Rich Duda's favorite verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, put your name there, so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, if you believe in him, should not perish but have what? For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not what? You're no longer condemned by the works of the law. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. People who try to say, I'm not that bad a person, I'm not a sinner, I'm not like that person who molests kids. You know, that's what murderers say. The thief says, I'm not like that murderer, I never killed anybody. The liar says, I never stole like they did, I just told a little white lie. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh unto to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. You doeth truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. You still with me? Colossians chapter 2, now verse 14. Wait a minute, we'll do verse 13 because I digress too far. In you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened. That means to be made alive, like the quick of your fingernail is the living part. Be made alive. You hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven how many? All trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances. An ordinance is another name for a law. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, There you are, Satan, the prince and power of the air, the god of this world, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to resist the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in this, in it. There's another verse that says, basically, that if the angels knew, if the principalities had understood what was going to happen when they had him crucified, because they ginned up the people, they worked them up into a frenzy, and the people, the unsaved people around that, said, crucify him. There was a spirit working in the hearts of those Jewish religious leaders. There was a spirit working in the heart of the Roman people who could make a change in the government decision, of the people who were witnessing his crucifixion and his death. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Give us the thief and the murderer. Kill him. They thought they'd won. Because it says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory if they had known. For me, I think about this. I'm a history buff. I love history. Right, Ben? Okay, love history. Do you know that Germany probably could have taken all of Europe if they just left Great Britain alone? You understand that? They already had control of France. I'm French. You know what the national flag of the French is? A white flag. We always had to be rescued. Always had to be rescued. See, I can poke fun at my own nationality. So if I poke fun at yours, don't get upset, all right? Don't have thin skin. People poke fun and look down at Christians all the time, don't they? Because they want to bring you down. But you have a case where they would never have crucified him. Because when they did so, he took my sin, deposited in the depths of hell. And 3 days later, hell couldn't keep him. The grave couldn't keep him. He came out. And then he went up. And he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. Me. You, if you're saved. He took it away. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in what? In the cross. In the death, burial, and resurrection, to show he had power over it. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon or a Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of what? People think they got to keep holy days, you got to keep this, you got to keep that, you got to watch, you can't eat this, you can only eat that. If you don't wash it right, the Old Testament, you violate it. Clean and unclean food. Now, I want you to understand, that was to protect them. If you ate according to their rules, you'd be healthier. But in the Old Testament, you broke those rules, you were condemned. In the New Testament, just... if you follow them, they don't control whether you're going to heaven or not, you'd be healthier. Plain and simple. All right? The law contains types and shadows that point to Christ, but the believer has Christ himself. We're told we have a much greater, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, they died in faith, the Hall of Fame of faith. We have a better payment. We have a better covenant. Say, what is this for? Why do we have to know the Old Testament if I don't live under that? Because if you don't know what the law is, you're going to continually break it, aren't you? You tell any teenager he can drive a car, you know what he wants to do? Used to think it was only boys. You know what? That's not true anymore. They want to drive fast. You think I'm wrong? Maybe there's that person or the woman or the one child, a kid who's really afraid. First time AJ ever hopped on a motorcycle. Vroom! It was an enduro that belonged to his uncle, a 400. He started popping wheelies and jumping hay bales. Right, Mike? First time they ever, but they rode on a snowmobile. Mike's head shoved in a snow pile, AJ's head in the snow pile, because they hit one of those hay bales at about 65, 70 miles an hour. And went airborne, kind of bent the front end of the uncle's snowmobile. Want to go fast? Why do you think it costs more to insure a man under 25 than it does to insure a man over 25? Because he's pushing the limits of the law. You don't have to teach your children to break the law, right? You have to teach them to what? To obey it. Romans chapter 15, and we're finishing up. Romans 15, verse 4. For what sort of things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience of the Scriptures and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? We sorrow not, a believer sorrows not as others that have no hope. You have hope in the fact that your loved one that you no longer have here on this earth, if you're saved one day, you will be with them in glory. All eternity. We sorrow not as others that have no hope. Judy Duda is dealing with that right now. Married 50 plus years to the love of her life. He went home to be with the Lord. There'll be a memorial service for him this coming Saturday here. I believe it's going to be in the afternoon. We've got to fill out the details of that. There'll be a meal to follow. It'll be a celebration, a memorial to Rich and to his Savior. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're done. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There's 7 baptisms in the Bible. And all that did eat the same spiritual meat and all did drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock and that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither should ye be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. For all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Though the law of Moses is not the rule for the believer's life, it is an important source of instruction for the Christian life. We learn from his examples. We draw spiritual lessons. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul draws lessons of Israel's wilderness wanderings in the Exodus. From Exodus to Numbers, we learn about Christ, the rock, the living water. That's why It was struck the first time. Jesus was crucified once. When Moses struck it the second time against the command of God, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because he was supposed to speak to the rock. Because it's a picture of Jesus Christ. Crucified once for all, Hebrews 10. It's filled with lessons in the law of Moses, 1 Corinthians 5. Paul draws lessons from the Passover in Hebrews chapter 3, 7 through 3. The writer of Hebrews draws lessons about Israel's unbelief and the hardness of their heart. You take those lessons from the law of Moses and compare them scripture with scripture to see if the lessons are supported by the rest of the scriptures. We can spend a long time, and I won't do it this morning for the sake of time, we can spend a long time showing you how that the law is something that you should keep in a practical sense in your life to remove confusion and to give you guidelines. Why do they put an electric fence around a pasture that's 30 acres? So the cow doesn't get hit by the car or the road that surrounds the pasture. But you know what cows want to do? Stick their head through the fence and eat the grass between the road and the fence when they got 30 acres to chew on. I don't know about you, but that's a picture of me. The fence is there for their protection. You know what the law is for you? To protect you. And all God's people said, take a break.